Abuelita, my father, my whole family, and Grand Canyon University made me the man I am today.
Hi, Tia.
Hola.
I think I'm gonna do Grand Canyon University's online program and get my master's degree.
Trata de llevar a tu familia en el corazón y lograrás lo que tú quieres. Estoy muy orgullosa de ti.
I have an announcement to make, so I'm going to get my master's degree online at Grand Canyon University.
Find your purpose at GCU.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this August 26th, Friday, 2022. Now, tonight we have, of course, our producers, none other than Courageous Craig himself.
Good evening, everybody.
And here live in the studio, I got our, well, I guess you're our tech guy, right? You're our tech guy?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got our kind of tech guy, Ron Ritz, with us.
Good evening, everyone.
Actually, he does a really good job with text. You know, we didn't expect much from him, but he surprised us and really come through. And so, you know, his wife always tells me, Bart, that he married up.
So, yeah, I did. I got lucky.
All right, very good. And way out yonder in Texas, we got none other than the man himself, John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie, and all our listeners, and we're expecting a great show tonight.
Yeah, we are. Now, John, I've got, you know how when I get that feeling, you know, that the enemy's going to attack. Now, the enemy knows what we've got. The enemy knows that, okay? The enemy is everywhere. It's got ears everywhere, and we're talking about we're dealing with spiritual forces in dark places. So I'm going to ask you to lead us off into prayer tonight before we get started, that you would pray that the Lord would come against those dark forces that are going to come against us.
Okay. Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus, and we are standing in the name of Jesus against spiritual forces arrayed in the heavenlies here, Lord. And we're asking that this everything will go smoothly without interference in Jesus' name. What we do on this show is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on the cross at Calvary. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Today, John, I had a conversation with a doctor, and he disagrees. He said, you know, we can be, but he likes to to discuss with me, he's a far left, and as far as I can tell, he's an atheist and far left, and so we start out and talking about President Trump stealing. Now see, what he listens to the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, so on, and how President Trump was stealing and stole nuclear secrets from the White House. Well, I says, you heard that on the fake news media, and you believed it, didn't you? Well, yeah, why? What makes it, what's the difference between what you believe on the conservative, what makes you right? Well, here's what makes us right. We believe lying is a sin. To us, lying is a sin. You don't believe in sin. You don't believe that there's really right or wrong. okay? And that's why, and we know it, right? And so he really couldn't argue that. He couldn't refute me because that's true. Remember, under communism, Marxism, lying is actually required. Lying is actually required, okay? It's not an elective. It is required to lie, you know. Marx said, always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing. Like Joey Biden accusing us of being fascists, right? Okay? Unbelievable, okay? It'd be like Hillary accusing us of being a witch, right? And so, anyhow, with that, we're going to take a look at the title of the message was The Unholy Confederacy of the Apostate Church and Corrupt Government. The Unholy Confederacy of the Apostate Church and Corrupt Government. And we're going to pick it up where we left off, and that's going to be over in Galatians chapter 6, or chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. So, are you there? Galatians chapter, should we let Ron read that? Like, I mean, everybody knows we can read, but they don't know that he can read.
Okay. We can split it up, yeah.
That's his middle fifth, Ernie. You got to test them.
All right, Ron, this is your chance.
All right.
Okay.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
All right, so John, that was a pretty strong statement by the Apostle Paul. Paul was dealing with two dark elements there. One was the Judaizers, and the other were the Gnostics. And so here he is telling you, that now, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Now listen, which is not another. Now, it's like today when nothing is the way it seems, you've got vaccines that are not vaccines at all, okay? You got churches that aren't churches at all. You got preachers that are not, well, they're not ministers. They're not shepherds. They're hirelings or apostates. They're reading from Bibles that aren't even Bibles. They're perversions of the Bible. And yet the vast majority of people out there are clueless, aren't they? They're in la-la land. And so here, when he says this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, here, he was making a statement, apparently. What do you think? Do you think he meant, when he said an angel from heaven, okay, do you think he was talking about a fallen angel that came from heaven, or do you think he was preaching, or he was just trying to make an extreme point there, okay?
Well, that's a good question, Pastor Ernie. I can't imagine a true angel of the Lord preaching a false gospel. So I would say that it would be an angel, a fallen angel that's it's from heaven.
Well,
a real angel wouldn't be preaching anything but the truth.
But actually, it could have both applications because you could have that. In fact, see the word angelus there in the Greek. That word actually there means messenger. So an apostate preacher could be that messenger, like a Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or Rick Warren.
This says an angel from heaven.
Yeah, and so I know that, but one of the definitions of that word angel, but I think you're right. I think in the context here it meant actually an angel, but I think Paul was just being extreme in his message. They're showing people this is how important it is that you hold to the gospel of Jesus Christ and not go off after these false gospels that aren't gospels at all, false doctrines. Don't you think that might be a point?
Yeah, yeah, I think, because it does say an angel from heaven. Yeah, so, it could be like him saying, even if an angel came from heaven and preached another gospel,
That sounds right, because he also says we is always including himself.
Yeah. Okay, so now here, he was dealing with the Judaizers who were saying, look, salvation is your belief in Christ, but it's not enough. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus as Messiah, but you also have to hold to the dietary laws. You have to, first of all, you got to be circumcised. Remember, the Judaizers was demanding that all new converts to Christianity get circumcised. And he was talking, and Paul said, no, it's not the circumcision of the flesh. That is the circumcision of the heart, okay? And they wanted him to hold to these other laws of Moses. And in other words, combine the laws of Moses with belief in Christ. So you're trying to combine Mary, law and grace together. Does that work, law and grace being married together?
No, Pastor Ernie, no. Because when a person goes down that road of, as you said, marrying grace and works, the works always takes over, Pastor Ernie. Sooner or later, it'll take over. Because the works give you the feeling of being self-righteousness rather than Christ-righteousness. So a person that's on that road feels the more works they do, the better they are, the more righteous they are.
So now Paul never met with the Lord Jesus when Jesus was doing his ministry. But after that 3 years, he was tutored in the Arabian desert by the Lord himself for 3 years, okay? And so do you think Paul is speaking with absolute authority here?
Oh, there's no doubt. And Pastor Ernie, all the epistles that I can think of, when they open up, they always open up grace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, things like this.
To the saints. Was he talking about people that are alive? Or was he talking about, is he writing those letters to dead people?
No, it's alive. But look how Galatians open. Paul, an apostle, he's pulling rank on these people here, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So Paul is real serious with these people, Pastor Ernie. The era they're in is really serious, and Paul's laying out who he is.
So
he doesn't say, like, grace unto you and things like that. This is a hard-hitting gospel right from the first verse.
And so here, when we take a look at some of those other gospels that are not gospels, like today, if we have to deal with them, of course, Paul had to deal with Gnosticism in those days, the worshiping of angels, and in the Gnostics, you had two sects of Gnostics, didn't you? There were two diverse sects.
Yeah, they were like opposite of each other.
So one sect believed that they being spiritual beings, that they could ascend upon this stairway to heaven, but in order to do that, they had to avoid everything that's material as much as possible. They had to touch as few as things, wear as few as clothes, wash themselves as little as possible. They had to eat as little as possible. Even breathe as little as possible, and their priest, if they touched a woman, whatever fingers that they touched that woman would have to be burned and cleared because they touched a woman. So then the other sect was just the opposite. The other sect says, yeah, we are spiritual beings and not physical. Therefore, the physical world can have no effect on us. We can eat as much as we want, get off into illicit sex as much as we want, drink as much as we want, and do whatever, because material things can have no effect. So which one of those two positions would you say was totally wrong?
Both.
Yeah, you're right. They were both, I mean, they were wrong in every way you could get wrong, huh?
Oh yeah, they were. Yeah, it was like total, complete repudiation of the scriptures.
So now today we have some of the false gospels, and of course we still have some of that Gnosticism then out there. But some of the things that you would talk about today, like there are those sects that believe that in order to go to heaven you have to worship on, you have to keep the seventh day, the Saturday Sabbath, to get to heaven. You got the pork police that you have to hold to some of the dietary laws out there, that if you're saved, you can't eat pork, you can't eat shellfish and these things. What is the Bible? Is that what the Bible teaches?
No, Pastor Ernie. In Colossians, it tells us that the Sabbath was a shadow and that of Christ, and that Christ is the fulfillment of it. And that, so in that sense, every day is the Sabbath rest to us. We rest in Christ.
So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, what did Paul say about eating, about the abstaining from certain meats and abstaining from marriage, that today if you want to be a pastor, then you have to abstain from marriage. Kind of doesn't go along with what the Bible teaches, does it?
No, in Timothy, 1 Timothy, it says a bishop is to have one wife.
And so, I'm be the father and raise up his children in the admonition of the Lord, right?
Yes.
Well, there you go. So then what happens? Why would that be here? In fact, let me take it and read you that, what you're talking about here. Because he says here, let me switch over. Well, let me see. That's, I'm going to jump back and read that, because there's a lot into that that has to do with today. Okay, and my pages are sticking together, so now I got to get.
You know, I don't have that problem with my electric Bible, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, you wait till lightning hits that thing, okay? And you're going to get the shock of your life, right? Okay, here you go. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, or apt to teach, not given to wine, nor a stalker, no greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, not one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he then take care of the church of God? So now, he's telling you that in order for a pastor, one of the major jobs of a pastor is to do marriage counseling, okay? I've done a lot of that over 50 years, I can tell you that. And so you have to know a little bit about the marriage and how to keep a marriage. I've been married for 54 years now, okay? So I'm getting started. See, one thing about marriage, though, you only have to work on it from the first day to the last. Other than that, you're free, right? No. But here, so here he's telling you. Now, John, tell me, what is the difference between a bishop, a pastor, a shepherd, a presbyter, an episcopal, or a parson? What's the difference between those offices?
Man, you went into a realm. Well, a shepherd would be a pastor. He's the shepherd of the sheep. The pastor looks over the flock. I would say a bishop is someone that may be looking over the pastors.
No, it's all the same.
Is it all the same?
They're all the very same. That's the same office. It's a lot of different names for the same office. Do you think maybe that would be kind of inspected in the fact because they are all under shepherds to the shepherd, the chief shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus, right? And so, yeah. did Jesus have a whole lot of different names and titles?
Well, yes.
He had a lot of different names and titles, didn't he?
Okay. Yes, he did, yeah.
And so you would say, well, that would make a lot of sense. Now, so let me ask you this, then. How is it that they're being taught today now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. So in order to be what he's telling you, a bishop or a pastor or the shepherd or the minister, the parson, in order to do that properly, you should be the husband of one wife, okay? Now, is he talking about one wife at a time, or is he talking about just one wife, period?
That's one wife, period, Pastor.
All right. Didn't Jesus say that in the beginning he made one man for one woman?
Yes, he made them one, yes.
Okay. So I get it here. Now, so then when we're talking about in order that there, those religions that teach that the pastor must abstain from marriage, what's the problem with that?
It doesn't line up with the Bible. It's a man-made doctrine.
So it's a man-made doctrine now. And so here, what about this thing called the priesthood? Okay, the office of the priesthood. What does the Bible, teach that today we have the office of the priesthood, or does the Bible teach that there's one high priest, one intercessor between God and the Father, that's the Lord Jesus, and we are to be a nation of priests, a holy priesthood, that the church itself is to be a holy priesthood? Is that what the Bible teaches?
Yeah, Peter is very clear on that, Pastor Ernie. First Peter is very clear that we are a royal priesthood. The believers are a royal priesthood, a nation of priests. And that priest means to intercede, Pastor Ernie.
So what we're saying right here now, is this something that just a belief that we hold to, or is it actually what the Word of God teaches? Is it what we're teaching, or is it what the Word of God is teaching?
No, it's us, Pastor. I mean, it's the Word of God. I mean, the Bible tells us that we are a royal priesthood, all the believers in Jesus Christ, all. And the Lord is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 7 is really clear on that he is our high priest, and that we are a royal priesthood under him.
All right, I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and real quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and... Should we? Look, Ron did pretty good. Now everybody knows, hey, that guy can read. Should we give him another shot? Or
I was going to say one thing on dietary restrictions and the laws. It was the Lord reminded us in Matthew chapter 15 that it's not what we put in our mouth that defiles us, but what comes out of our mouth that defiles us. So a lot of the restrictions from the Judeo world.
Because he says, because what comes out comes from the heart, huh? Now,
yeah.
That's an interesting thing because in my discussion with his doctor some years ago, we had some, they made a new discovery. This was a new discovery that researched science did, and they found out that within the human heart, there is a type of a brain within the heart, okay? Now, you've never heard that, have you?
No.
That's why you're here. You learn these things. And we did that. John, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Pastor Ernie, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have two thinking processes going on inside. One is our mind, and the other is in the heart. And as we grow in the Lord, they merge together to be of one accord. Because we can have sin lodged in our heart that is going to affect our thinking process. Well, that needs to come out of us as we mature in the Lord.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to a break, and then when we come back from this break, John, we got a little bit of a complicated thing tonight. I'm going to play a clip, and this is interesting. But now, one of the things, there's a lot of really great messages that we could get out to people if people would only use common sense. And so in this clip, it starts off in the first 9 minutes. It's really good, but then there's a period in there. There's two nurses. One nurse is straight and upright, and she's telling you the way it is. The other nurse, actually, she's totally against it. And the title of this here is Money, Murder in the Hospitals. The world needs to know. Now, both of these nurses are blowing the whistle, and as they said, that they're forced to watch their patients being killed. Their patients being killed by this hospital in New York for money. And so, but the second nurse, she keeps dropping F-bombs because today somehow there's a mindset that it's no longer wrong to use that word, okay? If I had to use that word when I was, and you, John, or you growing up, my mother actually had Fell's Naphtha soap.
Soap, yeah.
And Fell's Naphtha soap she used. And if any of us kids ever said anything like that, we'd get a mouthful of Fell's Naphtha soap. We would literally have to wash our mouth off with that soap. Today, on the left, the Democrats, the foul language and cussing and swearing, it's just a part of their everyday life. Now, and that's the problem. So we have to cut her out, even though the second nurse was adamantly trying to blow it. She was crying. She was crying and upset because she had to watch her patients be killed off. But that is no reason to use that language. She would have had such a good testimony had she not done that. And then we go into, so we're going to cut her off.
It's no excuse, but I think her background was military, Pastor Ernie.
The first one. The second one.
Yeah, the one with the F-bombs.
Oh, like that her was military? Yes. Well, boy, you hear a lot of that in the military for sure. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to play that clip. So take it away, Courageous.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear, an awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land. Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good, Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Money and murder in hospitals. What we showed you in our previous episode was only the tip of the iceberg. Every day, countless people die in hospitals worldwide because the holy protocols must be followed at all times. And those protocols kill people on purpose for money. Enormous amounts of COVID incentives. What could and should have been used for the benefit of the people turned into a murdering depopulation device. But not all healthcare workers could handle this insane reality. Their hearts stay true to their patients. They fought for their lives, mostly in vain, as they were overruled by other doctors and nurses as soon as their shift was over. One nurse who openly stepped forward is Erin Marie Olszewski, Army combat veteran and registered nurse. She worked at Elmhurst Hospital, the epicenter of the epicenter, in New York City in March 2020 as a travel nurse during the first so-called COVID-19 wave. The things she saw there horrified her. Patients who were brought in for anything non-COVID related, who were even tested negative, were labeled positive just because of the money it brought in. They were drugged up with sedatives and put on ventilators, brought in by inexperienced staff and interns.
A lot of these patients are really coming in with anxiety because everybody is, they're scared. You know, they're worried and they're breathing fast and then they get all nervous. So this is how the people are like coming in. And a lot of them are on either Medicaid or Medicare. They're poor. They're from, you know, a lower class. We're at a public hospital. They need the funding. So take them. They take them. And they tell them pretty much that if they don't get on a vent, then they're probably not going to survive. But the reality is, if they get on that vent, the likelihood of them walking out the hospital is slim to none. So you don't have actual doctors that know critical care, ICU doctors on these floors. There's a dentist and there are residents with these. So residents are essentially students, and these people that are on vents are essentially meaning like these residents are like practicing their skills on them. So they're practicing central lines, they're practicing like invasive procedures that are really unnecessary. A 37-year-old, he came in talking. He was very terrified. He was just like, you know, totally alert, knew what was going on, and they convinced him to be on a vent. Now he's dead. I compare this hospital to a third world country. I've been in a third world country hospital in Iraq. The Iraq hospital is better than this one.
Many patients died due to the use of improper settings by inexperienced operators, resulting in blowing out people's lungs. She witnessed gross negligence. She described how the resident physicians refused to consider treatments like vitamins and hydroxychloroquine that had turned out to be very successful in other hospitals, other states, other countries. Instead, patients were funneled towards ventilators where they were left to die. According to Olszewski, all of her patients died, mostly unnecessarily. Their loved ones were told they died of COVID-19. Their deaths were used to further falsify the statistics, and the mainstream media spread the lies and kept the real pandemic alive, the fear pandemic. Olszewski decided to speak up, but realized nobody would believe her, so she went undercover and filmed everything.
He came in with a stroke.
I know, that's what 26-1 was, a stroke.
And no COVID, and now he's got COVID, and he's on a vent. He's not DNR, but we're treating it as DNR.
Know when someone is, we're close, we'll pull the code card up and be ready. You know, we're ready. I had the epi ready. That's one of the first things we do. And she wouldn't let me give it. So this was that woman. And the entire time, and this was over his body, his alive body, and we're arguing, and she's laughing, she was smirking. And how this man died was the nurses arguing with the doctors over him as he was dying. And she's smirking the entire time. It was probably one of the worst experiences in my entire life. But all I can think about is that at least he knows that we were fighting for him. When he died.
This is wrong. It is straight up. It is wrong. And I am 37 years old. I have been in a hospital since I've been 16. Military hospitals that well.
What aspect of it was wrong to you?
Calling a patient a DNR when there's no order for it and telling us, like straight up telling us, you're not doing anything. That's wrong. If that was my brother or my father or anybody, I would be furious, and I guarantee you if I called his family right now and told them what happened, they would be furious too.
I flipped. We were all crying. There's a lot of nurses that know that this is wrong, but they're afraid to like say anything publicly.
What killed him? Did the vent kill him?
Yeah. Oh, yes. They're so sedated. He had probably 8 or 9 drips. It's all sedation. It's all sedation and paralytics. So you are asleep. It is essentially like you're under, you know, you're in surgery, you know, and they put you under like that for a good month straight. There's no way you can recover from something like that.
Subsequently, she wrote a book, Undercover Epicenter Nurse, How Fraud, Negligence, and Greed Led to Unnecessary Deaths at Elmhurst Hospital.
I've been taking care of a patient for like a week right now, and this is my that I called them. And he's been doing great. He had a trach put in, and he's been doing great. He's been talking and like, or communicating with me. He's telling me, like laughing at my jokes, and talking to his kids on FaceTime a couple days ago.
Nine days ago, I opened an intensive care unit to care for the sickest COVID-positive patients in the city. The method that we program the ventilator, one based on a notion of respiratory failure as opposed to oxygen failure, that this method being widely adopted at this very moment in every hospital in the country, which aims to increase pressure on the lungs in order to open them up, is actually doing more harm than good. And that the pressure we are providing to lungs, we may be providing to lungs that cannot stand it, that cannot take it. And that the ARDS that we are seeing, that the whole world is seeing, may be nothing more than lung injury caused by the ventilator.
I am a respiratory therapist, been doing this for 21 years.
Basically right now, the way it has been the last couple of months,
when they locked us down, is that any patient that came in with a respiratory problem was labeled COVID. Now, that doesn't matter if it's you got stage 4 lung cancer and pancreatitis and heart disease and liver failure and everything else. You're still, because you come in with breathing problems, you're labeled a COVID patient. Maybe they died, then they would die of COVID and not of stage 4 lung cancer. So you have to recognize that if every single patient is under COVID investigation and dies, then that goes into a COVID death, and they're showing the numbers like a football game to scare you. They're showing you loading bodies into a tractor trailer to scare you. I've never in my career ever seen bodies loaded into a tractor trailer. It just doesn't happen. I wonder if those were even bodies. I really don't believe it. All of this stuff is fake. Okay? Look at our ventilators. This is non-invasive ventilation here, CPAP or BiPAP. This is a mask that gets strapped on you, and we can help you breathe with that. We're not allowed to use those. Since COVID came out, they said absolutely not. You have to let the patient crash and go straight to a ventilator. I'm not completely convinced this is a virus. I've been doing this a long time. Do your own homework. Do your research. Y'all need to be asking some really hard questions here and questioning your government and questioning the people in charge and also questioning your doctors, because the doctors believe this stuff just as much as everybody else does, but they're not looking at the real information. All they're doing is they're told something, and hey, guess what? They got lives, they got jobs, they got everything else you got plus some. They're not going to go look it up. They look up the little things that they're told to look up, and that's it, just like anybody else would. Okay, so, you know, these questions really have to be asked, and they're shutting the world down, the world, okay? And they're putting our kids and grandkids in severe debt that will never be paid off. And if you think of how many taxes you're paying now, can you imagine what our children and our grandchildren are going to have to pay for this scam? So please, look up, do your homework, ask questions.
All right, I cut it there, Craig. Bring me back. Are we back? All right, we're back. Okay, John, let's very quickly, comment on this here. This is what we've been telling people. Remember, we told you in March of 2019, this whole thing was a scam. We told you that, again, and we were telling people about what the frontline doctors were saying, hydroxychloroquine, Corisavir, Coricitin, yeah, and these things. How these doctors we had on the program here, how Dr. John, for one, who was still, you know, had almost 100% of his patients, none of them died. They were all cured from that, okay? We had several doctors that you'd use these natural remedies, and they cured them. But then they outlawed them. They made it hard. They were making even
Michigan.
Yeah, in Michigan. But Mark, when we your name's Ron. When we ordered that, we had to wait. The order was held up, and then we found out that even in the post office, the people were ordering things and they were not making it here. You know, hydroxychloroquine, they were being lost in the mail. Okay, the corruption is just so high, and now The medical association, they really took, just like the FBI, they really took a shot for their credibility. They have no credibility. Now I've argued with several doctors, and now these doctors are starting to see what I was telling them, you know, about these things. You could tell, you know, well, whenever somebody breaks eye contact with you and you talk to them, they break eye contact and look away. It tells you something right there, don't it? Okay. And so they've taken a big, big shot, these medical doctors. Many of them, John, now are starting to say, you know what, we need to do the right thing. We need to go back. We've lost credibility. Others are afraid because Big Pharma owns the hospitals. They're Big Pharma. It's like the FBI and the IRS. They're bullies. They're bullying. They want to. You're going to do what we say or you're going to be out of a job. You'll never practice again. But you know what? I'd rather be starved to death than to totally betray my God and my country, wouldn't you? Say yes.
Yes, oh, yeah. I mean, that's true. And going back to the doctors, it's really hard to regain that trust. How do you do that, to be honest with you?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm giving them heaven sweet hell hot. I'm letting them know. You know, you guys, you know what you need to do. You know it. You know what you need to do, don't you? Okay. And so,
well, Pastor Ernie, some of them may have learned the lesson not to be whatever the CDC and Fauci says, or NIH and those other groups, not to just give your mind up to them and do what they tell you. I mean, they're starting to see all the lies, how this was basically a money-making adventure, and that those people were saying, they're the nurses, how the hospitals made a lot of money. The government was pouring money into the hospitals if people were identified with COVID, and if they died, they got so much more. And all, so some of them don't care. Some of them, I guess, got hardened, but others saw the truth. But how do you know, Pastor Ernie, the ones that now are good doctors, you know? How can you tell?
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is that, you know, if they advise you to take the poisonous poke, that's how you can tell.
I'm talking about on other issues.
Yeah, well, yeah, if they're compromised there, you'll know where they're compromised. But God bless those nurses.
Right.
God bless those nurses. I hope the Lord blesses them. I know he will. Like he did Shifra and Pua for saving the babies. God, I would bless those nurses for doing the right thing, taking a stand. And that lady that you just heard from, she was a lady. She was a real lady. And not like some of them out there today that, you know, as far as you can get. Speaking of that, let's take a look at this this affidavit that you saw for the raid on the legitimate president of the United States. Today, you and I know that Donald J. Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States, and anyone and everyone that says that's not true is a liar, and there's not one bit of truth in them, and there's not one of them out there that have the guts to come on this radio program, not one of you, and sit across from me and debate me, right? What do you think?
I would doubt it.
I've been saying that, and I haven't heard from any, right? Okay. So Donald Trump is still a legitimate president of the United States. And here, with that, John, did you see that affidavit? This crooked judge, Judge Reinhardt, this crooked judge, you know, he ought to take off his black dress and put on a red dress and go stand in the corner, because he's been whoring himself, what he did there. And what he did.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I knew it was a show from the beginning, because this is the judge that publicly said he hated Trump.
Yeah.
I know. He said, yeah.
And he recluses himself from the lawsuit that Trump has against the RICO case against Hillary, the FBI, the Justice Department, all that. So I'm listening to, I don't think it was the judge, I think it was commentators about him, and they were saying, oh, that this is a very, he was saying this is a very serious issue, and I want the FBI to, by Thursday, to have, go over it for a redacted, what they're going to redact, and that this is the public, this is the former president, and the public has to know. And I'm saying to myself, actually, I said, they're going to redact the whole thing. This is a stage. This guy is, he hates Trump, and he's going to set this up like he's a real fair judge, and he's going to get down to the truth. And then they virtually redacted the whole thing, Pastor Ernie.
Basically, do you get the opinion that these people think that, since there are so many clueless people out there, so many clueless, so many, what the Bible refers to them as simple-minded, that all the people are simple-minded, that they're, that no one, none of them are going to figure out what we're doing, okay? And so,
Pastor Ernie, was it Abraham Lincoln? I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said, "You can fool some of the people some of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time."
Yeah.
I think that was a quote from Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I think it was too. But anyhow, so now this heavy redacted. Now, do you not suppose that, all of that redaction would be to protect the DOJ and the FBI, you know, and especially the Dirty 30, those same dirty cops that were at January 6th? They were the same ones that were at that fake, false kidnapping there of that governor of
Michigan.
Michigan. I don't even want to mention her name. Yeah. Or
that state up north.
Or that state up Gretchen. North. Gretchen. Or do you want to... And the very same, you know, so these were the same ones. They were the very same crooked cops that were at each one of these things. And so here, they had the Department of Justice had to find all of the crooked, all the illegal things they've done. Does Trump have, is this not a perfect Fourth Amendment lawsuit? Did they not violate every single thing in the Fourth Amendment? Is it? Now, we still have a let me read it to you. The right of the people to secure their persons, houses, listen, to secure their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath of affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. He's got a perfect, absolutely perfect constitutional lawsuit, right?
Well, yeah, and on top of it, Pastor Ernie, you have to have reasonable cause. You just can't, you have to, what's the word? There has to be some reason, some tie-in of why you need this search warrant.
So now, can he take this? Look, okay, I know that there's some kind of false, you know, legislation or something they passed about suing the FBI and that. Now, he don't have to go through the Department of Justice, because we don't have one anyhow. There is no longer a Department of Justice. It's simply a branch of the Democratic Communist Party. But now he don't have to go there. I mean, he can go directly all the way to the Supreme Court with this, right? And so,
well, yeah, his own attorneys. Yeah, he's not going to have the government on Justice Department on his side. His own attorneys are going to do this.
Yeah, and so here, what you have is you've got in this case what this crooked judge Reinhardt, they have the FBI investigating themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
How far is that going to go?
Durham is already investigating them, and he's identified some real trouble FBI agents.
Yeah, but Durham has to go through the DOJ. He can't go directly to the courts, can he?
Yeah. He is technically under Garland.
Yeah, I know, but now can he give that information to Trump's lawyers, though, and go directly to the court?
No, it's got to be public. It's got to be, and you see, a lot of it is public, Pastor Ernie. What Hillary did, it's all gone public. How the money and the lawyers and how they were, the FBI knew it was fraudulent. They knew it wasn't real, but they used it anyways. That's all public information. That's what Trump is going to use in that RICO investigation. It's all public. He can use it.
All right. So we're going to be coming up to a break. 1 year ago today, 13 U.S. Marines died in Afghanistan. Yep. And who's responsible for their death?
Joey Biden.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.